Let's bring in our Friday political roundtable. Beth Fooey is senior politics editor for NBC and MSNBC. Beth, good to speak with you.
Thanks. Good to be here.
And also Jesse Holland, host of Weekend Journal on C-SPAN. Hi, Jesse.
How you doing?
Good, thanks. Beth, let's start with you. Coronavirus, clearly top of the agenda in Washington today. President Trump planning a news conference later this afternoon, and I understand he is expected to break some news. What are you hearing?
Yeah, so NBC News is reporting, as are others, that the president has decided to declare a national emergency around coronavirus, which will open up a lot of money, hopefully billions of dollars, aimed at fighting the spread of the infection. We don't know specifically where he wants to target that money, but we will learn more at the news conference.
Jesse, this would be a far cry from even yesterday when the president said that this virus was going away. What's going on? Why the shift?
Well, because you're seeing it get more and more public. We're seeing more and more people announcing that they have actually tested positive. In fact, the Miami Herald is reporting this morning that Miami's mayor, Francis Suarez, has said that he has tested positive for COVID-19. And he was in that same group that met with the Brazilian officials in South Florida with President Trump. So we're seeing more and more people actually testing positive. So the president has to act, because if we don't, we don't know what kind of trouble our country is going to be in.
Well, in fact, a lot of people were wondering why President Trump didn't declare an emergency on Wednesday night in his address to the nation in the Oval Office. Let's hear a moment from that speech.
This is the most aggressive and comprehensive effort to confront a foreign virus in modern history. I am confident that by counting and continuing to take these tough measures, we will significantly reduce the threat to our citizens, and we will ultimately and expeditiously defeat this virus.
Beth, in that address, the president gave incorrect information about his travel ban from Europe, which incidentally starts tonight. And many people are now saying that that moment in the Oval Office will stand out when history judges his response to this outbreak. Do you think that's fair?
Well, what we can say and what we know is that President Trump has been sort of reluctant to embrace the severity of this situation until very recently. The Oval Office address was perhaps the first step in that direction. Obviously, this press conference today is yet another step. But early on, it was not something that he wanted to get out in front of. And whether that's because he didn't know the level of severity, or whether he saw it as a political risk, you know, we will you know, be talking about that and thinking about that for a long time. But perhaps now that he is stepping out and is going to free up this money, the situation will receive the level of intensity that it needs. Because as we know from our public health experts, it's a situation that requires this level of focus. And certainly state and local officials have trended in that direction and did so, you know, days before. Governor Andrew Cuomo here in New York, Governor Inslee in Washington State, Governor Hogan in Maryland has just shut public schools. The local and state level officials have acted quickly, and that will perhaps be the way to at least initially halt the spread.
Well, in fact, those local officials are saying they have to do that because they're getting so much contradictory information from the federal government between the administration and the White House. One of the biggest questions is this issue of testing. Why in the world aren't more tests available? The president and the White House have said testing is widely available and you can get it. The reality is quite different. Jesse, more on that. Where is this miscommunication on the federal government coming from?
Well, here's the thing that we're seeing right now. We're seeing people having to turn to their local officials instead of turning to the federal government to figure out what they do next. Now, one thing we do know, that earlier today, the Trump administration released a couple of million dollars for private companies to come up with their tests. But what we're going to see is that we really are depending on our state and our local officials to tell us what to do, how to survive this virus. Frankly, it doesn't look like many people right now can expect good information out of the federal government. So we're turning to our state, local, and frankly, even county and town officials to tell us how to survive this virus over the next few weeks.
Right. Also today, the House is expected to vote on a stimulus package, the Speaker Nancy Pelosi working with Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin to find a compromise. Jesse, stick with you. Do you think that we will see lawmakers rise above partisanship in the next few hours and days?
Well, the answer is yes, because this affects almost all of their voting constituents. Nobody wants to be seen as saying we're going to be stingy with our money when people's lives are at stake. So I do think we'll see them rise above partisanship in the moment. The question is, can they do it long term? That's a question that's always unknown in Washington.
Well, and there's an election coming up. Democrats running for president are jumping into the fray. Here's Joe Biden yesterday.
This disease could impact every nation and any person on the planet. We need a plan about how we're going to aggressively manage here at home. You know, you all do know, the American people have the capacity to meet this moment.
And here's Bernie Sanders.
Because President Trump is unwilling and unable to lead selflessly, we must immediately convene an emergency bipartisan authority of experts to support and direct a response that is comprehensive.
Beth, both of those men trying to come across as presidential, are they succeeding?
It's such a strange situation to be in for these candidates and for this entire election. We've never seen anything like this, where a presidential election is playing out amidst a national crisis of this level. Biden, Vice President Biden, at this point sort of the presumptive favorite to be the Democratic nominee, was certainly stepping out to assert sort of a presidential bearing and sort of take on the president while at the same time speaking as though he were – if he were in charge, what he would do. That's not to say that Bernie Sanders is out of this by any means, and he also chose the moment to assert himself in a presidential fashion. The two of them are also going to be debating on Sunday,
right.
A CNN debate, and will clearly be the topic A for the two of them, and we'll see how they decide to handle it between themselves.
Jesse, as if things couldn't get any busier, there is an election on Tuesday. Important states: Florida, Ohio, Illinois, Arizona, all of those states under a state of emergency. How do you expect this to play out there?
Well, as we all know, the elections are decided by turnout.
Right.
So the question becomes, who turns out for a presidential primary election on Tuesday? Will Joe Biden's voters turn out? Will Bernie Sanders' voters turn out? Can you vote absentee in those states? That's a question that right now no one can answer. So we don't know what the race is going to look like after Tuesday because, frankly, we don't know who's going to show up for elections or even if those states are going to cancel or delay their elections.
Lots to think about. Jesse Holland, host of Weekend Journal on C-SPAN, and Beth Fooey, senior politics editor at NBC and MSNBC. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.